It's a beautiful day. Last night, someone mentioned that the magician David Copperfield can appear to make the Statue of Liberty disappear for 2 minutes. Now that seems really inconceivable to most of us. We'd have to see it to believe it. But what David Copperfield can do with one perception, the Great Freedom Teaching does with all perceptions. All perceptions, no matter what they are, all of our thoughts, feelings, sensations, actions, we can call all of these points of view that arise within the pure view of our awareness. And all the points of view that arise within the pure view of our awareness are one basic space or pure space, like the vast expanse of the infinite sky, never confined by any point of view. As all points of view of the all-encompassing pure view of awareness are inseparable, they are without transition or change and entirely uninterrupted, entirely free of elaboration. There is no way we can ever think ourselves into this inseparability of awareness in all its perceptions or points of view. It's impossible for us to think our way into it or contrive it, just as it's impossible to separate the color blue from the sky. All we can do is rest naturally without seeking anything, without describing anything. Rest naturally is the very essence or ground of being. And as we do so, more and more we realize that all these points of view, no matter what they are, they vanish naturally within the pure basic space of awareness, leaving no trace. They vanish naturally like the flight path of a bird in the sky, or like a line drawn in water. All the points of view, no matter what they are inseparable from awareness, just as water is inseparable from wetness, or the color of an emerald is inseparable from the emerald. We don't have to contrive anything or do anything to be who we are. We already are who we are, and no one can give that to us or take it away from us. All we are or ever have been is self-knowing awareness. So when it comes to the matter of the direct perception of our own awareness, the direct and decisive and definitive experience of our own awareness that is beyond all experience, there's no way to arrive at that through point of view. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we believe point of view is something in and of itself that will lead to something else called enlightenment, like meditation will lead to enlightenment, or this act of doing will lead to enlightenment, or that act of doing will lead to enlightenment, then we have duality. We have a seeker and something being sought, but all the while the seeker and the sought are inseparable, and that can only be known through resting naturally as the essence of our being. It can't be cooked up in any way. Even if we meditate, we must rest naturally, freely, as the essence of every perception, or we will continue to think that all of these perceptions are something in and of themselves. In and of themselves, in other words, independent somehow from awareness, independent from awareness, existing elsewhere other than awareness. So when it comes to the matter of whatever you want to call it, enlightenment, liberation, awakening, or simply being a true human being, when it comes right down to it, our awareness is all that we are. Our awareness of being naturally present, awareness is the essence of the perception of being naturally present. It's always awareness that is primary and all-inclusive in every perception. Every point of view, no matter what it is, its essence is awakened awareness and nothing else. And if we're keeping all of our focus on the vivid appearance of the point of view rather than its essence of awareness, we can never really taste the full flavor of that essence of awareness as all perceptions. So when point of view arises, whenever a point of view arises, no matter what it is, we're entirely free of the elaboration of that point of view. We're entirely free of the elaboration of that point of view from the beginningless beginning. But we can only know that through resting naturally. When we rest naturally, freely, as the immediacy of every perception, we then realize that that perception arises in, of, as, and through awareness. And that its arising and abiding and freeing are simultaneous. They're instantaneous. They are all points of view, no matter what they are simultaneously inherent in awareness. What that means is everything is contained in everything, no matter what it is. Freedom, complete freedom, the great freedom, is timeless freedom. It's not constrained or constricted by any notion of time or space or dimension or elaboration or description or anything else. All points of view, when they arise, are like a mirage. And if we take the point of view of ourself, for example, the point of view of ourself, very often when we're looking for enlightenment, we're told that there is a somebody who needs to be done away with before enlightenment can be realized. But whenever that is proposed, it is a teaching of duality. The point of view of a somebody is equal to every other point of view. It's just a point of view that arises occasionally in awareness. Very seldom do we have the point of view, I am a somebody. We may even go an entire day without having that point of view. But because of conventional beliefs, we assume something about ourselves. We assume ourselves to be a real somebody. And when it comes to enlightenment, we think that somebody has to be done away with. But if we simply allow ourselves to rest as the essence of awareness in a totally relaxed, easeful fashion, more and more we just see that this point of view of I, of me, of mine, anything associated with a personal identity, it arises in awareness. It is equal and even with all other points of view. So this makes it very simple. When there's no I to be done away with, what could be simpler? So you see, what I'm talking about here is the essence of being human. That's all. It's the essence of being human. And every human being, no matter who they are, already is this awareness. There's absolutely no one who's excluded. But somehow, we've almost, as human beings, lost the golden thread of who we are. We've almost lost that golden thread by diminishing and marginalizing this matter of enlightenment into categories where it is so hidden and obscured by all the trappings of different thises and thats that it seems impossible to find, that it seems impossible to realize who we are. It's very rare to ever find a teaching that can point us directly to the complete enlightenment that equals complete benefit. And I'll talk about this in a very simple way. When I talk about complete enlightenment that equals complete benefit, we've already been sharing about points of view. But when I talk about ordinary body, mind, and speech, I'm talking about body, mind, and speech that are all focused on I, me, and mine, on a personal comfort zone. That's body, mind, and speech, living from point of view, living from the dynamic energy of awareness only without realizing the entire vast expanse of awareness. The more we rest easefully in a totally relaxed way, the more we realize that our body, speech, and mind too are vast like infinite space. And they're vast and uncontained and emanate wisdom and compassion in all qualities and activities. But we can never know that until we rest. You see, compassion and wisdom cannot be cultivated or developed. It's impossible to cultivate or develop them, because any cultivation or development takes place as a point of view. But if we rest naturally, easefully, we tap in to the warmth of wisdom, compassion, and bliss that is naturally occurring. And as we tap into that, we actually feel the warmth of that bliss, wisdom, and compassion arise in us as the essence of our being. As long as our awareness is all wrapped up and taking itself to be points of view, we don't feel that warmth. But once we allow ourselves the greatest of all acts of self-kindness, self-love, or self-compassion, that of ultimate ease in the immediacy of each mirage, as the immediacy of each mirage, we realize more and more this warmth, this affinity of love that naturally connects us with everyone and everything, as everyone and everything. But at the same time, we don't have to make anything out of it. We don't need to talk about it in a totally unnatural way. We don't need to have special places to go or terms to use or anything else. It just is who we are. And it's clear and obvious and absolutely unaffected and impenetrable in every moment. So, you know, there's no ego we have to get rid of. Has anyone here been trying to smash their ego for years or annihilate their sense of self or do this or that? All of these, it's just, you know, more points of view. It's more fabrications of something. It's an anomaly of point of view, but, you know, it's talking about enlightenment, but it doesn't have anything to do with a message of the direct perception of reality that is right here. Whenever there's a direct perception of a message of direct perception of reality, and this has been true throughout time, that message is so direct, so unerring, so relentless in affirming that we only are what we are, that it can't be missed. You know, pop, 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 pop. The perceptions just no longer can be held on to. They can't be held on to. And you know, it doesn't even require resting naturally, freely in the immediacy of perception if you don't want to do that. Just realize what is right here, what is naturally present, which is naturally occurring, is the complete ease and comfort of your very own being. Realize that is so palpable in this room, the felt sense of no past, present, or future. There's only what's right here, without all the worry about the past, concern about the future, or even caring about what's going on right here. There's just relief. Relief. Now, when I woke up, I didn't know anything about enlightenment. I didn't know what that was, and I'm glad I didn't. All I knew was that it was complete relief. It was completely natural. It was complete ease. It was complete comfort. And it is the reality of everyone and everything. That's all I knew. So that was my innocent starting point, so to speak. The realization of what I'd always been was that everyone already is that. It's not something that needs endless years of sadhana. You know, when you already are who you are, what would be required? What would be required other than allowing that to be the case? So, you know, one of the questions I'm asked is, well, if we already are this, then how is it that I don't know this? If it's so obvious, if it's so apparent, then how come I don't know that? Well, you know, first of all, when we're focusing all of our awareness on points of view, there's a resonance of tension, kind of a resonance of tension that is it's the felt sense of the body moving in the world, this resonance of tension. And each of us, when we're living from point of view, we can feel that. And you know, it's given all kinds of names: anxiety, panic attacks, depression, anger, sadness, whatever it is, grief, despair, bewilderment, hopelessness, powerlessness, whatever it is. Well, let's just call it a resonance of point of view, of self-knowing awareness taking itself only to be point of view. Well, when we come to a place like this, where maybe for the first time in our life we're hearing about the reality of what we are, that tension completely disappears. That resonance, that tension completely disappears often. And when that resonance or tension disappears, the only resonance that is here is pure space. Pure space that is entirely aware. Aware basic space, that's it. Where is the tension now? Where is the tension now? It can't possibly be held on to. So when you experience that, when you directly experience that complete relief from all tension here in this room, realize that that is who you are all the time. Know that as yourself. It's not circumstance dependent. It doesn't depend on being here anywhere else. It's the reality of what you are all the time. So when I suggest rest or ease, I suggest just being that complete relief, being that complete relief of aware basic space, vast as the infinite expanse, that can never be tied up in knots, never has been tied up in knots. How could pure space be tied up in knots? See, it's impossible. So if the starting point in waking up is, I have a knot I have to untie, then the starting point is a false assumption. It's just another point of view, because pure space has never been tied up in knots. So our starting point has to be the ease of complete relief. That's our true nature. We're already completely at ease as every point of view. Every point of view, no matter what it is the throne of perfect ease. It's a hammock of perfect ease. In that hammock of perfect ease, we just sway back and forth as awareness, but without ever going anywhere. And we see the vivid appearance of everything, no matter what it is, the vivid appearance of each point of view. But we know that point of view not just as its distinct and clear appearance, but is the awareness that is the essence of its being. So there's no awakening, no enlightenment, no liberation that is separate or apart from point of view. Point of view is the dynamic energy of liberation, of enlightenment or awakening. There's no point of view that's separate from that. And if we feel we need to take some points of view and put them over here in order to be awake, then we're trying to exclude part of the dynamic energy of awareness in order to make awareness happen. Everything, no matter what it is included in all-encompassing awareness and subsumed therein. Awareness, aware basic space, is the comprehensive category, so to speak, of all of its dynamic energy. There's nothing whatsoever that's separate from it. It can't be restricted or contrived or contained in any way. We can only know it as our own ease. And when we allow that ease to just be, then less and less do we believe ourselves to be somebody. Less and less do we believe ourselves to be somebody. Yes?
Because sometimes, especially in the West, where when I'm working and busy and there's stressful appearance, sexual experiences, I can be very identified with, the knots. And the thinking, and the things I have to do, and then I lose that sense of resting naturally. But is that not? Is that also is it also part of the awareness, or is that the?
It is awareness.
Yeah, it is aware, but it is like a very
Only if you make a story out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so what you call the not is a point of view, say that comes up. But if you add all these other points of view to it, then you just have a compulsive chain of points of view. But if this point of view comes up, say the knot comes up, you feel something, you call it a knot, and you rest naturally without going into the whole story about it. Oh, I have a knot. Oh, it needs to be untied. Oh, I'll never be enlightened with this knot of work or sex or whatever it is. Then it's just more proliferation of point of view, more involvement more involvement in point of view. But you see, if when this knot comes up, there's just being perfectly at ease as the heart essence of awareness that is that point of view. See, the point of view, the knot or sublime joy, they're both awareness. So all points of view, no matter what they are equal, whether they're positive, negative, or neutral. All points of view, no matter what they are equal. But that can never be known unless we rest naturally as each point of view. If we have points of view that come up that make us feel bad about ourselves or like we're better than anybody else, then we just rest naturally as both of those. And more we realize this pristine evenness that is the essence of everything, all of the magnificent display, all of this incredible wonder that is the reality of what we are. You see, our awareness is just completely inseparable from all perceptions, no matter what they are. But when we have an idea of being a personal identity, and then we have an idea that all these points of view in here make up this personal identity. Well, actually, what we are is, you see, the dotted line has never existed. There's just the points of view of aware basic space, that's it. And one of those happens to be you. Me, I, mine, the self and other. One of those happens to be that, but see, they're equal to every other point of view. The point of view is only there when its vivid appearance is in awareness. But actually, once we start to be at ease as ourselves, we realize more and more that this point of view that we took ourselves to be, that it's just a point of view. That there is no container, warehouse, hard drive, or mainframe computer called I that contains all the other points of view. There's just awareness. If we wanted to liken it to a mainframe computer, it would be a mainframe that included all points of view. Well, you know, that's an easy illustration for most of us to understand these days. Within that computer, all of the electrons that make up the electronic interactions of a computer, they're all equal. You know, none is better or worse. And so is the case for all points of view. But you see, as long as we think that some points of view are good and others are bad, exactly, it's dualism. So any enlightenment teaching that talks about one point of view that needs to be done away with, all of a lifetime will be spent on that, because the points of view are countless and ceaseless. They're countless and ceaseless. And so it'll just seem like there are more points of view that we have to do something with, unless we're really, really lucky. But through the direct perception of awareness, we're each guaranteed the reality of what we are. We're each guaranteed the reality of what we are. We count only on our own awareness and the constant of that. rather than on hoping somebody will do something for us to wake us up, or hoping that through being really good people who have the right outlook on life, we're going to somehow be better than everybody else and make ourselves into someone worthwhile. We already are entirely worthwhile. We're completely worthwhile. And I don't mean that in the sense of positive affirmations or something like that. I'm already worthwhile. I'm perfect. I'm good. I'm rich and famous, whatever it is. I'm not talking about anything like that. The reality of awareness is uncontained. It's never been restricted in any way. And when we rest naturally as the ease of the totality, we realize that we cannot contrive goodness. We already are good. That just as one point of view is perfect, all points of view are perfect as awareness. And when we rest naturally, we realize that which is beyond all points of view, yet contains all points of view. All points of view are subsumed in it, in the reality of what we are, in this reality that is vast like infinite space. And rather than that being a way of being in the world that is immoral or irresponsible or impartial or neutral or adopts an extreme like nothing exists, nothing ever happened, nothingness, voidness, impartiality, neutrality, fatalism, even bliss or clarity. It adopts no extreme whatsoever. It's beyond all speculation of being one thing or another. So nothing can really describe it. You know, what do you say about that aware basic space that here is the magnificent display, here is the magnificent, here it is, but you can't really say anything about that. You can't really say anything about that. All you can realize is the definitive, decisive reality of what you are as a human being, as the vast expanse. And that vast expanse is unobstructed awareness. Unobstructed awareness. No matter what we come up with about enlightenment, say we have all these names to call it or all these people associated with it, what's primary in all those perceptions? Awareness, 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 awareness. Awareness is the root of everything. Even if we say awareness is the functioning of the entirety, of the totality. Well, the totality, we would have no experience of the totality without awareness. So you see, these are inseparable. Awareness is the root of everything. No matter the perception we have, no matter the point of view we have, no matter the experience we have, but just let's call them all points of view. No matter what the point of view is that's rising in our awareness, awareness is the root of it. Awareness is the root of everything. No point of view would be without awareness. And there's no way to get there. There's no doing to be done. There's no doing to be done because what is already self-evident. It doesn't require any doing. When we've been told over and over and over again in our lives and adopted the belief that all good things require a great deal of doing, then when we hear about enlightenment, we think, oh, wow, I'm really going to have to do to get that. That sounds so good. I'm really going to have to get involved in all the doing. I'm going to have to work forever and find someone, I hope, who can snap their fingers and I'll wake up. Well, you know, that could occur, but maybe once in a billion times at the most. But you can snap your own fingers. And resolve all your points of view in the basic space of your own awareness. So that's how easy it is. There's no one to look for. You know, and when it comes to humankind today, it's all of us together. You know, it's all of us together. There's no heroine or savior or anything like that other than all-encompassing awareness all together as the reality of our humanness. So, you know, when we How many people here have used the internet? I think everyone in the room has. Okay, well, this isn't going to be a lecture on the internet, I promise. But I am going to use it as an illustration. I should have Edmund make my drawings. Okay, say this is the internet. Now, the way the internet works is it's a web. So imagine this crisscross like a web. And imagine the outside of this circle as what are called servers. Servers are computers that serve information. And then this circle right here is another part of the internet called routers. And the information from the server goes to the router, and then the router routes it to your PC. And this is also an illustration of awareness. Say all of this is awareness. If we take ourselves to be the PC, you know, just in other words, we get on our PC and we Google something. So all we know that we can get into our computer is what we can Google. But we can never have everything in our PC that is on all those servers. We only know what we know from within the realm of cause and effect. So all we can think of is to Google is any point of view that we come up with. We type it in, and then we get back a limited amount of information. Well, this is like our pure awareness, because when we take ourselves to be a personal somebody, we say, I am this. I'm this personal frame of reference, and my personal frame of reference are all these points of view, my thoughts, feelings, sensations, and actions accumulated through life. And the router, so to speak, through which we've received this information is culture. We receive this information from culture. So the human being is the only one who has the choice of self-knowing awareness. The human being is the only being through which awareness knows itself. Many beings know only awareness, but only the human being has self-knowing awareness, the choice of awareness in every perception, the choice of unobstructed awareness in every perception. So when we learn from culture and adopt all these belief systems and assumptions about who we are, we stay within this framework of cultural designations, conventional designations. All of our points of view are who we take ourselves to be. So this conventional area of cause and effect, it includes all points of view, including all organizations, all other ways that belief systems are formed, everything everyone takes themselves to be by and large. And when we take ourselves to be that, we operate entirely within the realm of cause and effect. The notion that there is a great reality that includes all information and is entirely beyond cause and effect, it's remote. You know, most of us don't even know that it exists. We think that all that we are is this, right in here, and that we can never be anything else. Well, you know, there's no way to do anything about this to get there, because you're already there. See how all this is in here? We already are that. So when we just relax, we realize more and more the spaciousness of our being. We realize more and more the spaciousness of our being. And as we relax that idea of being a point of view called a somebody, we feel this incredible warmth arise in us of compassion, love, wisdom, bliss. joy that is unremitting. You know, there's nothing that can take it away. Because everything, no matter what it is, that can be described is inclusive in this vast expanse of awareness. When our thinking and our mind and our speech are released from this context or frame of reference, simply through being at ease, we realize that beyond causality, awareness which is beyond causality includes cause and effect, can operate easily within the domain of cause and effect, but is not cause and effect, is indeed beyond causality. So all these things we've tried to cultivate in our lives, goodness, wisdom, compassion, we find they're already present. They're naturally occurring, only realized through complete ease. Not through doing, not through effort, not through achievement. There's nothing to achieve. Everything already is as it is. As long as we're trying to achieve, to effort, to find a result, then it's ever remote. Has anyone ever had that experience of it being ever remote or feeling like, oh, I have the experience now, but then all of a sudden it isn't there? Yeah. Whenever we feel there's something to get to, it's likely that that'll occur. You know, we'll be hoping to attain a state and fearing that we won't. So when we have some kind of state occur that feels good, we think, oh, I've got it. At last I've got it. And then it might go away, and then we go, oh dear. Hoping again to get it and fear that we won't. So the ease of already sublime awareness, aware basic space, is inclusive of everything. It emanates only benefit. So each point of view, no matter what it is beneficial in nature. Its intent is beneficial in that it only is awareness. And when we relax our grip on it as a description only, as a point of view, as a label, we realize that it is awareness as a vivid appearance rather than just a vivid appearance. And as we realize that ease more and more, we realize something about our body, speech, and mind. We realize that our body, speech, and mind isn't limited to this accumulation of memories, of thought, feeling, speech, and action. But rather our body, speech, and mind too are vast like infinite space. Our body, speech, and mind are beneficial body, speech, and mind qualities and activities, the emanation of benefit only. And everything turns upside down. Our preoccupation with a self and a personal comfort zone, where all the thinking, speeching, and action are about self and the personal comfort zone. All the thoughts going on are about self and the personal comfort zone. The speaking is really directed at that, and most of the actions directed at that. When we just be totally at ease as the heart essence, the goodness of each perception, we realize more and more that this body, speech, and mind too relax. They relax completely. And more the thoughts, the speaking, and the action are about the benefit of the whole. The benefit of the whole. You see, herein lies the quantum leaps we require as human beings to resolve our problems created from point of view. When we realize the tremendous benefit to ourselves as individuals by releasing all of our ideas about ourselves into infinite space, when we realize that about ourselves, just each of us as individuals, then we realize that it's so for everyone. We realize it's so for everyone. And when we see that in our own lives there are these tremendous changes that occur, we know too that it can occur in a larger way, so to speak, in our families, communities, and world. So, you know, in the Great Freedom Teaching, the teaching is like a web that surrounds the world. It's a grassroots way in which people share the Great Freedom with each other. You see, when there are many people who are directly realizing this Great Freedom that already is, then there are many people to share it with each other. There's no hierarchy in awareness. There's no hierarchy of elect people. Everyone is equally awareness. There's no one who is not awareness. Did that address the breadth, depth, and pure space of your question?
Yes.
Any other questions, or would anyone like to come up and share? Morning.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well, how are you?
I'm good. I'm Carrie. And it's funny how whenever I get up to share, I always sort of have this acting out of the my sort of points of view of, you know, comparing how good will I be, how much will I not be good. So I'm going to start with that because I'm going through the 12 inquiries right now, and
that's one of the Great Freedom Teachings, by the way.
Yes, there are 12 of them. We're on 12 today, and I came to an understanding that actually that's not the right word. I came to an awareness of some very sort of fixed points of view that in belief systems that I had adopted over the years of either being incredibly perfect, as we all probably feel at some point, or better than, or consequently turning around and sort of victimizing myself for not being that, not being as good as everyone else, really. So I was sort of constantly in this very vigilant survival mode of either trying to be perfect enough and being better than everyone else, or then slamming myself down and victimizing myself, and then vigilantly holding on and swimming between those two for years. I mean, I can't believe how long I've done this. It's so funny. And this was all acting itself out in the inquiries. So as I was sitting there, I'm like, well, can I ever be as good as Candace? No way. Well, maybe I can be better than that person sitting to my right, or maybe that person to my left. Oh God, I suck, I'll never get this. It was just constant, so much so that I couldn't really take it in, because I was just so terrified. Really, that's what it felt like, terrified of just letting go. And that sounds, as it comes out of my mouth, it sounds like it's trite, because I probably said it a million times before. And I had an understanding, but that understanding existed in my body from like here up. And the understanding was really just an applied antidote to the points of view that were still very present in my being and belief systems about who I was. And yesterday, Candace was reading about the river and the rocks that we can hold on to. And I just saw myself as she was reading, like, and it was very funny to me. It didn't feel sad, really. I just saw myself, like, desperately clinging to, like, this huge rock. I have to be right. And I just, all of a sudden, I just let go. And I felt just like, I really felt my body sensation, like, just float into the room with all of you who were here yesterday. And I just felt like, just totally, utterly held. Just totally, utterly held. Like, I didn't have to be vigilant in those two points of view of, you know? Just, and it was such a relief. And it wasn't like I thought, I pictured in my mind, you know, like, to have, to set that down, to really set down that vigilance was going to be like some catastrophic, cataclysmic, I don't know, monolithic moment where I was like, ah, and the sun would shine. And it was just like, of course. So that's my story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was looking for if I wanted to say something. Okay. Hi, and welcome everybody. So nice to see that so many people are here. My name is Petra, and I want to talk about the avoidance of relationship that is the main effect of believing in points of view and living from points of view. Because I think all of us have experienced that at some point. And to you who have been here doing the courses and been here to the satsang many times, I think has come to huge realizations about how you have avoided relationships and believing in points of view. So I can start by telling what happened during the Way of Rest. There's three teachings, three courses that is given here, and I've done the three of them, and I think it was during the last course now that I wrote an email to my very, very best friend back in Sweden. And I was just feeling that I had such a strong feeling of just expressing myself and letting her know exactly what was going on with me in India. And exactly described to her in the way that I would describe it here in the group with great freedom. People who are used to this kind of language that we are speaking here right now. So I just decided to be like totally honest and totally have it all out there and not think that I would put it in words that I might think that she would understand it. I would just use it the way that I want to express myself, the way I see myself now. So I wrote her a long email about things that I had been going through that I did not ever tell her because I was kind of afraid to even talk about those subjects. I kind of like tried to commit suicide when I was younger, and it was such a big deal for me, and I never wanted to talk about it. I did not really want to think about it because it was so painful. So I just wrote everything I wrote down to her, and I also finished it off, of course, with what a big relief it is to not believe myself to be something that I am not anymore. So this is my best friend back home, and I love her, and I thought that I unconditionally loved her, and I thought she was the person that was closest to me, and I thought that we had such a good friendship, which we do have, of course. because it's easy to see how you avoided relationship with people that you kind of like had fights with and you had big disagreements and stuff. But okay, I will go back to that later. So I just send this email to her with no expectations whatsoever. I was just feeling like, okay, that's so nice to just have it out there now, and okay, we'll see what happens. I know she will be cruel with all of this, but what I received was a letter where she was like totally, totally open up and telling me things that I never did about her. And it was so beautiful. So now I'm getting a bit cryy, a bit emotional. But it was so beautiful what she wrote me, and I was so amazed by, even though the people we think are so close to us, and that we think that we love so much, we do love them. But when we are taking ourselves to be something, we also take other people for someone, being someone outside myself. So I'm not really crying because I'm sad. I mean, I'm really happy. It's all equal anyway, so I'm sitting here crying and telling my story, but it's all points of view, right? But it was really amazing to just see those new sides of her and realizing that the words that she was speaking in the letter is my words, you know? I just feel like when I'm talking to people, it's what I hear is myself, and what I see is myself. And everything that we are a part of, or that we are. So I'm telling you, it's such an interesting world out there. even the things that were so, I mean, the things that were so obvious to me, like, oh, my relationships to my ex-boyfriend or to my parents, they were kind of troublesome, and of course now I can totally see how I avoided that, but to see it with someone that I really, really thought was, I mean, she's just the greatest. So, that's how it is. Total love and compassion for everyone. And I sincerely feel that it's so important that you all are here. And if we can start to just hear our own voice and see ourselves in everyone that we meet, it's gonna be such a great world. And you know it. You know it. You're here. You know it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Beatrice. If we adopt any kind of extreme in our search, like the world doesn't exist, nothing exists, nothing ever happened. Well, if in its essence everything only is that a nothing, it would be an inert void. And what we really do is cut ourselves off. We just adopt an anomaly of point of view. Just another point of view. It may not be the conventional point of view, but it's still within the realm of point of view. What Pietra so beautifully evidenced here, and Carrie as well, is the complete release of all ideas, of all points of view of what we've taken ourselves to be, the complete release of everything that we've taken ourselves to be in infinite space without really needing to call it anything. And as we do so, we just relax ourselves as our natural ease, and this incredible compassion and love that unites everything is naturally present. Naturally present, naturally occurring. And so, you know, we may have had an idea about love, a point of view called love. It may have had a lot of other points of view that we thought were attached to it. What love looks like, or we may have had a point of view about enlightenment. This is what enlightenment looks like. It has to be described in this way. Or whatever it is. When we're just at ease, then all of these become vast like the space that they are. And as that spaciousness, there's only this heartfeltness. Just heartfeltness. Not just saying, I am one with everything, like a mental, philosophical abstraction. But I am everything. I am everything. I am so everything that everything you are, I am. Every thought you've ever had, every emotional state you've ever had, are having or will have. That's what all-inclusive is. All-inclusive is nothing left out. A great capacity to think, feel, and be. Questions? Thank you for coming today.